Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Getting wrapped up in a spoken word performance or feeling part of an artistic experience looks and sounds a lot different since the pandemic closed venues. Many artists rely on creating a connection with people in exchange for making a living. Now, performers have had to adapt to earning that living through the exchange of connection and creative expression in a digital space. Lake Effect recently launched a new series called Pandemic Performers, where we're highlighting some of the work coming from Milwaukee artists, performers, and venues at a time when many of us are still isolated. Dasha Kelly Hamilton is Milwaukee's Poet Laureate. She's a writer, performer, and a creative change agent. She often holds workshops and collaborates with other artists in the community, and even opened a new venue in October of last year. Hamilton spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel about how she's adapted to sharing her work and facilitating conversations online.
So what has the pandemic been like for you as an artist, a performer, and a creative change agent?
It's been, at the first part of it, it felt like a reckoning of, oh my goodness, why didn't I become an accountant? And then very quickly, I didn't become an accountant because this is purpose, you know, my work is purpose driven. What I'm made of. So it was a lot of settling in. I've been describing it as taking care of my inners, I-N-N-E-R-S. So it's reflection and staying in touch with folks and thinking about my craft and what projects, what writing can I do, do I want to do? And obviously there are the things that initially that felt that they'd been taken away from gigs and conferences and performances and such. So as a writer, I just need my laptop or a journal. And I've been able to spend time with a manuscript that I've been tinkering at for a while. So now it's a much more robust writing schedule pouring into that. As far as performances go, as the world has moved into virtual space and become more, and not just resigned to Zoom, but also really creative in how to do streaming, done some programs of my own. I've been a part of some readings. I've hosted and curated different discussions. And so that's been, it's been exciting, actually. There are some that didn't work. Not that they didn't work, but they were definitely a replacement for being together. And then there are some that were actually much more robust as a virtual experience. One, because now I'm able to actually have the artist on the screen that I wouldn't have been able to afford to bring into town from Beirut or from Philly. So it's been an expansion in a lot of ways, too, of what's possible. And being reminded it's always been possible. Zoom and Skype and Google Meet didn't just show up. We're turning to them in a new way. We are going to have shows again. There are going to be conferences again. There are going to be gatherings. They'll be different, but they'll happen. In this phase of the experience as an artist, I'm giving myself thinking big. I'll always think big, but moving forward, just continuing to plan forward. So I have a tour that starting to book dates. So all is not lost as much as it felt that way at the outset.
Community is such a large part of art. Of creating it is sharing it. How has your relationship to the community of artists changed?
You know, we have a unique position in that as artists, as creatives, we're making our own work, right? So I have a poem that I created about, you know, I said, hey, so listen, I know right now it feels like, what have you done to your life? like I said at the beginning, why didn't I go into accounting? Why didn't you do these other things? Because this is the moment that the naysayer cousin, this is the moment that the doubtful parent, this is the moment of skepticism where you can feel like everything that you poured, all that you poured into this work, this craft, this journey has been for naught. It has not. That is not what's happened. Now, about that rainy day fund, that was true. That was a bit of advice that across the board, you know, depending on how robust your career is, whether you do that or not, whether you have those business practices or not, as an independent contractor, as a creative, as an artist, but this choice that you've made for your time and your talent and your purpose in your life, no. And you see the different reports popping up, how people who are taking these art classes and painting classes and listening to music and watching all of the verses battle on Instagram and, you know, reading more and figuring out how to bake sourdough bread. These creative endeavors are keeping this planet alive and sane and still human. So to that end, you know, the watching folks who are still able to create, who are still creating, and a lot of artists aren't. It's a draining toll, worrying, and it just feels a little bit different. So in those cases, it's having, you know, taking the time, you know, have a lot of art, we check in on each other. Hey, how are you doing? How are you holding up? Hey, what are you working on? Hey, what's a goofy thing that you're watching? Because outside of creating stuff, we still are partners and parents and neighbors, and, you know, we're still our citizens also trying to figure this out.
How has your work, your writing, been influenced by this pandemic?
It's been impacted more so by what I'm able now to give attention. So, for example, this manuscript, for me to write fiction is a different, it feels like a different cellular experience than writing a poem. So writing a poem, I could work on a poem on the, you know, in the margin of a meeting agenda and still be in space with other folks. Because they're, it's a collection of images and ideas that I sculpt together. Fiction, I need to be focused. You know, it's to the exclusion of stuff and people, and it's not going to be productive in 20, 30 minute chunks. And I always haven't had that time. And even when I had the time, set aside my writing time, okay, well, rub your hands together. Okay, it's fiction time. But as a writer, you know, seldom do I just sit down and just start banging out. You know, I can and I do, and those are usually the first 200 words that get tossed. So you're cutting out the pipe. So the process of committing to fiction, I have in an unrushed way able to really fall into that work. So it's more what I'm able and giving myself permission, making time for it. I have, in terms of content, I've written the creative's piece. I've written a piece about the protest, specifically the experience, you know, capturing the experience of my daughter, who's 20 now, coming home after the Milwaukee Police Department fired rubber bullets and maced and gassed a peaceful protest. And what that experience was for her. And even in outside of the, so that first layer is the mama reaction. And then that next layer is also a mama reaction, but also someone who's spent so many years working in youth development and leadership, that moment of comfort and pride that with my daughter and the young people I've worked with, I call them my sugar babies once they're out of high school. So my daughter and these sugar babies that are out here in the city, and literally in these streets, we are going to be fine. So I was able to, so that was a poem about that, those two layers of insight and emotion about who's on the front line and what's happening at that front line, and why this line even is still here. So to be able to still in the space add weapons and tools and perspective into this urgent dialogue, it's also been really cool.
And it seems like building and connecting with new or emerging artists is important to you, that you care a lot about it. How have you been able to continue that work, and maybe how has it changed?
That hasn't been as easy, in that, so the newer and emerge, well, I take that back. So two things. One, going back to that, creating content while we were all initially bunkered in, one of the things that I wanted to offer was a space just for people to be creative. You're going to need that outlet. By and large, my writing courses and my workshops, yes, you're going to learn technique and craft, and we're going to talk about and jam in and talk about plot development, all that kind of good stuff. But really, I just want you thinking. Really, I just want to slip in this conversation about intersectionality. Really, you're going to leave with this notebook full of more questions, hopefully, and ideas and starts, more so than you've been coached through writing a perfect essay. So being able to wanting to offer that just as a, hey, I'll be here on these days. I'm committed to making this happen. If you need it, come and get it. So I had a Saturday series that I offered for a few weeks, and then I had a humanities kind of a shortened version of a course that I teach that I offered weekday on Wednesdays for a couple of months. So that felt great. You know, everyone's bringing what they have, hopefully, to the table. You know, I can take you for an hour and rejuvenate you, you know, through creative thinking and these questions and these prompts and meeting other folks. And then an hour you go back into the world and you've had this pick me up. You've had this excursion.
What has been the most challenging part of the pandemic for you as a writer, as a creator?
The most challenging part was the impotence. So as someone, you know, people who are planners, and that was what I realized I was making myself sick in trying to plan through something that had, where there's so many variables. But if that's how you're made, you plan a program, you plan a season, you plan how to release a thing, you plan how to gain a conversation or get into, you plan. So it's, you're always in relationship building, or you're nurturing relationships you already have. So that space, so that kind of, so all of the different ways that we plan for what can come next, being prepared for what can come next, and having all of that stripped, really, was this, you know, this existential window of, you know, who am I? What am I doing? How am I? All of those questions I know everyone asks themselves at the beginning of this. So that was the hardest thing, because within that it was, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, it was a reckoning of this life that you've chosen, this way that you've constructed this work, and in the past not knowing was, well, let me build something that I do know, that I can reference or count on, or at least anchor myself to. You picture like swinging through monkey bars. You've got one bar, and you know the next one will be there. All of that gone. All of that as a process gone. So I just felt unmoored.
And what has inspired you or given you hope during this challenging time?
On a couple of fronts. The first one would be going back to that front line. So witnessing these young leaders lead from the thousands of people who are able, who were able to be at marches because they're not able to be at their jobs, being able to witness the air quotes unlikely leaders who they didn't just start leading. They're just now in a position where they're refusing to be silent, and they're refusing to play along with the respectability politics, with the artificial groupthink of who should be out front. The people who care and have the capacity and have the network and the willingness and the fire, that's who needs to be out front right now. And that's who, that is who's out front right now. So that's been a joy to see. It's been encouraging to see more of my neighbors. And I mean this in a human way, in a citizenry way. Actually be neighbors, right? So I, you know, thinking about the George Floyd and the racial unrest, I was able to, I did attend a Mad Moms March. So I did I said some words and I shared a piece. And one of the things that I asked the group, you know, asked this gathering, I'm like, so here's the thing I want you to go back and continue talking about. What took you so long to be mad? This is the nth black man who's been murdered by a police officer. Why is this making you mad? And you weren't mad at the 50,000 ones that happened before just this year, right? And as I was leaving, there was a group of women there packing up the bourbon. She said, I really appreciated your comments. Your poem was really nice. And one woman, she looked at me, she said, over her mask, she says, what took me so long? I said, that's the question. And I want you to ask all your friends that, because that's where the work, that's where we're going to find the work is. Whatever the answer to my question is, that's where your work is. That's where all of our work is. So being in proximity to be able to actually make that statement, to the group of strangers that I may never see again, but for whatever reason, they wouldn't have been present to hear that before. So that's been encouraging, but across the board, you know, people are still getting married. People are still, you know, applying for school. Folks are still taking drivers, you know, getting driver's licenses. Life is still happening. So those joys, those small ones, are also a welcome inspiration. That normalcy is not going to be familiar, but there will be a normalcy.
Dasha Kelly Hamilton is the Milwaukee Poet Laureate. She's a writer, performer, and creative change agent. She spoke with Lake Effect's Becca Schimmel as part of our series, Pandemic Performers.